Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z, Gibbe. How you living, buddy?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got absolutely no complaints. Mini camp is over. We're getting a second Friday because yesterday was also Friday.
It's our third Friday in a row.
If we're being truthful about it, Wednesday is first Friday.
I don't know why the hell we're here. I mean, I thought we went really strong yesterday.
We did.
I thought you gave people what they would need. I think you could have ran that show right back.
We're under his yoke.
His yoke is Pedro-esque.
It is
on this
Pedro-esque.
Friday.
It's a Pedro-esque yoke.
I mean, we're in the undisclosed location on the west side of Cleveland. How many people are at the facility? You were over there getting snacks. I mean,
five. I saw Coach Tarver. He's the only, I think, football person that's here. Coach Tarver's here because his son is an elite drummer and is in this very prestigious drum concert tonight, and then he's like, we're on a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow, and he's already shown me a surfboard. He's ready to get on the
waves.
He's going. Oh, yeah, he's ready to get on. He walks right out of his place. He can walk right out cross street, and he's on the waves. So he loves it. He's a big surfer. He's a great – he's a very cool, interesting dude.
Yeah. That is probably the number one activity in my life that I wish that I could do. Not that I would do it often around here.
Like it's a realistic thing that you could do.
Like if I could have done it when I was younger, I would have loved to have been in a situation where someone taught me how to surf. It does feel like those guys that are doing it are having a hell of a time. It feels like they're really having a great time. It becomes like a lifestyle
that I feel like is very envious. You're independently wealthy and you just surf all day. And
yeah, I know
dude,
you
did some tasty waves.
I feel like you and I have talked about this before, but I always find it. I just can never wrap my head around this. I've been to Orange County a lot in the last 15 years, and no matter the day of the week, nor the time of the day. And it doesn't matter if you're like all the way down like Monarch Beach, Laguna, all the way to Leo Carrillo, Manhattan Beach, wherever you are, they are surfing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're all just independently wealthy. I don't know how they do it. It feels like it's a club.
I think there are two types. There are the independently wealthy who surf and go have baller lives. And then I think they're the ones who are like, this is all they care about. So they just surf and then they'll eat like a taco. Or they'll go to Neptune's Nest and get a fried fish platter for $10.
And that's how it goes.
And they'll all live out of a van together with Spicoli.
So I think you're right. There's a big gulf.
I don't think there's even a middle class. I think there's...
Well, I do think there is. The other thing about the West Coast that it has going for it is, like, if you're in the financial sector, the markets close at 4. So you're...
So
1 o'clock. I'm gone.
I'll see you.
I'll see you on down the road.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
So that's a bit of a win, I think, too.
Agreed.
But that is definitely an activity that I would have liked to have done, certainly, is that. So, yeah, I mean, it's the rest of – most of the rest of the NFL, I think there's 20-some teams next week that have their mini camps next week. But we're early because we're nemacolining and – or not nemacolining. That's the other one. They should give us some for that. It's free pub for them. You used to have deals with them, didn't you, Gibbe?
We did. We had like a Ryder Cup tournament.
Yeah,
why would we bring that back? Let's do that. I'd like that, and I'd like some power washing.
Those two
maybe
things.
Even if it's perfect.
Another week off?
Those two things would be good. I'd like those things.
I don't need that.
All right, you sure?
He's got that.
Yeah.
Earned that.
Earned it. I still won't even use all my vacation.
When did you do the Ryder Cup? What time of year did you go over there?
It was usually in the summer.
Go over in the summer?
Yeah, I think that at one point there was a fall. I think there was a fall one. Actually, I take that back. It started in the spring.
Yeah.
It's like late spring, like May, June. The weather was a little iffy.
Yeah.
And it went because
this is their peak.
Fall. Yeah.
So they probably want you guys there in like May so that they could get a little pub for
Correct.
The summer months.
Sure, sure.
That the 84 lumber course there is a full day.
And that's where we played.
It was built for John Daly.
Yeah, yeah, but you're great. Like if you better be.
You're great.
You better be.
No, I'm not.
It's a full day.
It was the longest course on tour for
was it really?
A long time. It was built that way. Yeah, it was built to be the longest course on tour to be set up for John Daly's game. I think it was like
84 lumber guy.
Yes, yeah. It was 84 lumber classic. You see there, and it was I think 7,800 yards from the tips. That's why you got that John Daly statue in there. It was like literally, it was built for
Yeah.
Him and
somebody
to have that
who bombs.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I played it from the tips. It's absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I shot like 80-ish, and then I played it from one up, which was still 7,400, 7,500, yeah. And I was able to get in the 70s.
There were many instances where, so I would have done the members, played with the boys, and you know they weren't, at that time, two or three years ago, they weren't big enough to be off the tees, so I just picked what looked like member tees to me. And every time I would get to a second shot, it'd be like, really? We're sure this is the next shot? Yeah. Three wood? Really? Are we sure?
Scorecard. Yeah, there are some par fours that are long.
Monsters.
There's one par five that I think of in my mind is like the back of the property where it's the – and it goes the whole length kind of downhill. I remember I had to hit – my ball hung on the edge of a bunker that was like a huge pit bunker, and I had to hit it left-handed. I had to flip the club and hit a left-handed chip.
Yeah.
So I remember that course. I like that.
The
course.
Other one, they're both really. The other
well, they've
one's
redone
fun
the
too.
Other one. I've never played. I haven't played the second one since they redid it and made it also very nice.
It's nice. Yeah, they're both really nice. It's a nice property. But anyway, we'll be at the Greenbrier, which is also a nice property. One I was at.
Yeah.
Last summer, three golf courses, four if you have the right connections, because you got the Snead as well. So
I want to get on that Snead.
I feel
maybe.
Like you will. I think that that's been known, and I think so.
I think you can make that happen. Seeds have been planted, and there's interest abounding with. People who I believe, a luminary who I believe would have the necessary means to make it done.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think if memory serves, well, I know this for a fact, the guy who's the pro there is a huge, he's a huge Buckeye guy, but dad is a big Browns guy. Because like when I went down there, I was with the boy, playing with the boy, and he was like, he knew who I was as soon as I walked in the pro shop. And he was like, I gotcha. Fantastic.
Wow.
That's
what
awesome.
A time.
You like that?
Yeah. So that was good. So that was really nice. But that's not that far off.
No, it is not. Let's see. I'm trying to get the Mystic Rex scorecard. I really want to see it.
I think it's a big boy.
No, it was the longest course on tour. I mean, it has been, obviously, things have changed since then, but it was the longest course on tour, period. So that is... legit.
I feel like I have this. I got it right here for you, buddy. All right, you go. So I assume. All right, championship now. So they brought it back. Championship is now 7. Okay, so this is. Championship is 75-16. The black is 74-33.
So they moved.
So they moved the championship up.
Yeah.
But the black, which you'd be considered the member tees. It's the same, 7,400.
7,400 yards. Yeah. That is a full day.
So, 409.
The rating, just to give people, the rating is 77, and the slope is 149. So, that's a high slope, and then 77 means that's what they would expect a scratch golfer to shoot from those tees.
Yeah.
That is high.
That's pretty brutal, yeah. Absolutely brutal. Yeah, 409, 473, 231, par 3. I remember those being long, too. 598, 410, 223, 545, 476.
476, par 4 is a full. That's a big one.
Yeah. There's a 476 and a 473 on the front. A 634 is 11. Is 634? Can I interest you in that?
Jeez. Yeah, that's a big one.
That's your big boy right there for sure. All right, so then you're at 634, 465, 465, 525, 468. So you have five par fours more than 460.
Yeah.
So buckle up.
Yeah, even if you're hitting it 280 off the tee, you're still,
it's
765 iron off the in.
I had one of the most.
Not wedge.
No. I had one of the most unique and stupefying viewing experiences of my life last night. I watched a little of the Stanley Cup Final, the thing went from series was over to they score with 2 minutes left. Matt Tkachuk scores with 2 minutes left to even it, and then they win in overtime. And it
they
went
being from, not
they
what,
being Florida,
not Vegas.
Vegas was up 2-0
right,
and up 2-1 in the game with 2.5 minutes left. When Tkachuk scores to send it to overtime, then Florida wins, and now Florida's got a chance. It went from not being a series to having a series. So that, and then in commercial breaks or like intermission, you know my rule. I give everything on HBO a shot. I'll give it a shot. They have a good track record with me, more hits than misses. So they debuted this show, Idol.
It's supposed to be awful.
Like, it is.
It's under it is, intense attack for just the
it is
dirtiness of it.
It is. That's not even the worst of it.
Okay.
That's not even the worst of it. So, and I'm watching this last night. I didn't know anything about the behind the scenes, none of it. I'm watching this last night, and there is a lot of reasons to why, for what you said, there are a lot of that's validated. But that's not even the, to me, that isn't even, like HBO, they do shows that push the limits. It's been going on for a long time. And I didn't think this pushed the limits even any more than some of the other things they've done in that realm. It, what very clearly was to me as I'm watching the show is, it seems to me that The Weeknd said to HBO, I'm going to be a star of this thing, and you're just going to have to do it, deal with it. Because my guy cannot act at all. He cannot act, and he plays a major role. And I don't think that this is a controversial take. Much of The Weeknd's appeal is in the idea that he is supremely musically talented. So if you take the musical talent out of it, you're trying to tell me that that guy who is a character, owns a club with zero charisma or anything, is landing the star of this thing in one night? It is awful. It was one of the, it's like, oh, and then in it's like two separate, Hank Azaria's in it. It looks like he's doing like an SNL skit. He's got this crazy accent.
So just so you know.
So I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the
backstory. Experienced.
So The Weeknd created, executive produced, co-wrote.
Oh, my God.
And stars.
Well, that's what it looks
and
like.
And so.
On HBO.
The reason that people are getting so upset with it is it's basically written as though it's his, like, very sleazy, fancy, and the word they're using is torture, you know.
Yeah.
Adult cinema.
Yeah.
Is what they're calling it.
Yeah.
And it's his, like, and he's under attack because he created this, and then now he's like, I'm starring in it, and everybody has to do this stuff with me. So people are not happy about this show.
They,
and apparently
it's
awful.
Awful.
That's what
I watched it. It's awful.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's absolutely awful.
And he's like so upset about the fact that people have a problem with it. Like,
I don't know how you could think that they would. He can't act.
He's stunned.
He can't act and he has no charisma. So let's just, if you start there.
Yep.
I have to imagine at some point this was brought up and he was supposed to be like a bit player. But he's like the co-star.
No, he created it for himself.
Oh, it's outrageous.
He created it, he paid for it, and now he's starting it.
And HBO said, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how bad it is.
Yes.
Absolutely dreadful. Do not waste. I will say this. Johnny Depp's daughter's the lead.
Yep.
She's a rocket ship.
Yep.
From a talent standpoint. She is charisma times 1,000.
Yep.
Like, if he wasn't in it, there's a path for it to be very interesting.
Yep. Got it.
But the fact that he is derailed, wrecked, ruined.
And it feels like people seem to not like him as much as they did prior to him doing this vehicle.
I can see why.
Yeah.
And if you spent, he doesn't even show up until halfway through. I can't wait till the episodes, how they're going to spin the episodes when he's in the whole season, the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's only in like 25 minutes of it in the debut.
Yeah.
It's awful. Dreadful. It's a Mailbag Friday. Ask us anything you want. Tweet your questions to Gibbe at Browns_daily. We'll get to those around 2:30. I believe I had that on the Big Ten.
Yeah, of course. Well,
this is one of the most. But the one thing I didn't have yesterday that I think is criminal is that Ohio State will no longer play Penn State every year.
What are we doing?
Okay. Oh, they need to just – they need to – what they have to do – and it's just the reality of what they need to do. This is my opinion. You can tell me I'm an idiot. The Big Ten already has two divisions, right?
Not anymore.
Nine more. So now it's going to be one. Okay, here's the fact.
Yep.
Ohio State needs to play USC, Michigan, obviously, Penn State, probably Wisconsin, Michigan State.
Sure.
UCLA, since you have that out there, like those are just the automatics.
Yeah.
And then everything else you can fill in however you want. And for everybody else, you can fill in whatever you want. And if I miss somebody, I apologize, but I don't think I did.
You didn't.
That needs to happen every single year.
Well, it ain't.
That's absurd.
So, in fact,
failure of epic proportions.
What they did is they let schools protect certain rivalries. So they let Ohio State protect only the Michigan game. So Ohio State will play Michigan every year, Beyond that, they won't play anybody every single year.
You need to understand now, for what example, makes money just, for your conference.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why all this happened. And I'm going to tell you how Ohio State, you blew it, boy. They allowed Iowa, to protect three games. They allowed them to protect Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. So every year, Iowa is giving more is given more consideration than Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Penn State. Penn State
why?
Does not have a single opponent that they play every year. Not one. Not one. Since Penn State joined the Big Ten, they have played Ohio State every single year. It's typically the last Saturday in October. It's mostly, for the last 15 years, it's been a night game.
And it's meant something.
It's one. You're exactly right. In fact, since I've been around Ohio State since 07, because you got to remember, a big stretch of the time since 07 to now, the Michigan's teams that Michigan's been running out have been garbage. They were largely garbage. From 08 till 16?
5 years, yeah, 6 years ago.
Nothing, right? The Penn State games were the better games.
Yeah.
They were the bigger challenges. Those atmospheres are electric. Gene Smith is saying that he wanted to play Penn State. Penn State is apparently apoplectic about this, that they're not playing Ohio State. There's a lot of rumor that the Big Ten was like, well, fine, you got to play Maryland every year. And Penn State was like, well, no, we don't. Why would we play Maryland? Why are we lifting these teams up? My biggest beef with this is Ohio State does not act the part. They are not bullies in their own conference. They allow for the conference to benefit off of their accomplishment. What I mean by that is, by not forcing Penn State, what the Big Ten is thinking here is Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, USC, those four programs have got to fill as many time slots as possible. And Ohio State fans are going to watch Ohio State no matter what. So we can put Ohio State up against Minnesota and we'll get a rating. Is it as big as Ohio State against Penn State?
No.
But it will be a rating. So we can get more television shows out of Ohio State if we also have, for example, on a given Saturday, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, USC, all anchoring a show. But they marginalized the entire thing. I'm going to read to you. It's stunning.
What I said is right. And even if you want to pare it down, you have to have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and USC, even if, and Wisconsin, I think. Those four have to be every year.
Do you want to know that in the first 2 years of this deal, the three teams Ohio State's going to play both years? They're going to play Michigan, they're going to play Northwestern, and they're going to play Illinois. That's a joke.
Illinois?
That's a joke, man. Oh, the Illibuck. This is Ohio State's 2024 schedule, okay? The mighty Buckeyes. Michigan, okay. Here's the eight home games. Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Northwestern, Rutgers, Southern Miss, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
If you're a season ticket holder, that's not exactly something you're writing home about.
You do not play USC in year one of the deal, as I told you was going to happen
Mystifying.
Yesterday. Road games, Michigan State, Minnesota, Penn State, UCLA. In 2025, you will not play Penn State. So they're off. You do get USC on.
I don't.
It's unbelievable.
Idiots.
I don't understand.
Kick some of these teams out, honestly.
Oh, my God, dude. If you did relegation, you could take six of them out. You'd take six of them out.
Rutgers, Maryland.
Rutgers, Illinois, Northwestern.
Those are like
Indiana. Minnesota.
I don't think you take out the original
Maryland.
Schools.
You can't take, yeah.
Maryland, Rutgers.
Right, but here's the deal. These teams, all these schools that I've been mentioning have been getting money from this league for 15 years off a television deal. None of them are better off.
Northwestern at least sends people to the NFL.
All of them send people to the NFL, two or three, but none of them are serious programs. You can't win anything at any of those places. None of them have gotten better in football since the Big Ten Network came in 2007.
Purdue used to have Drew Brees and Illinois, Jeff George.
I would argue, dude, even in 07, like Illinois had Juice Williams and Aurelius Ben and played in the Rose Bowl with Ron Zook in like 07 or 08. Yep. Illinois is worse off. Northwestern is about what they were. I mean, they were playing in the Rose Bowl with Gary Barnett in the 90s. Like that, they're about the same. They can put a team together about once every 3 or 4 years. Rutgers is nothing. Indiana's worse. At least at Antoine Randall L, it's for a certain amount.
It's
been a minute, but like, they've never been anything.
Every school you're listing is better off as a basketball only.
So well, they just
Michigan State's
happen is
worse off now than they were.
The Big 12 needs to become the basketball conference, and you can take all the an Arizona, as you said, take Indiana, take basketball schools, and put them all in the Big 12.
It is
right.
Number,
am I wrong?
Number one.
Real quick on that, I do agree with you. There's no reason. Because, like, for example, like, I want to say Johns Hopkins plays in the Big Ten in lacrosse. Because, and there's certain teams that play in the Big Ten in hockey. Like, there's no reason for all of these, there's no reason for all of these to be Big Ten football teams. And for us to try to act like we have to protect Iowa against Nebraska at all cost. And for people saying, oh, Iowa, Nebraska, they're neighbors. So are Ohio State and Penn State. You want to know how long Iowa and Nebraska have been playing? Since Nebraska joined the Big Ten.
Yeah, they weren't even.
And that's more recently by 15 years than Penn State.
By the way, I'd toss them out.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they just get everybody who's not original out and only have added. So that would be Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska. Who is there anybody else that's in the right now that's not original?
Like you
so at least three teams. At least gets three teams off everybody's schedule.
If you're the schedule maker, you go through and you go, all right, each team, who's your one rival? Like, we're going to keep the rivals. Like – and then you can figure out if you want to protect the team. Like, they should have gone through and gone, Ohio State, Michigan's a no-brainer.
They should
have
said
not
Ohio
doing
State.
Anything. So Ohio State, which game are we protecting them? Which team are we protecting them for
and
Ohio
James
State?
But why would they get one? That Penn State was the one that they wanted. That was what? The second most important game.
There you go.
So why would the Big Ten go against Ohio State's wishes?
Ohio State, they should say, all right, for the next, given the state of everything, for the next decade, Ohio State, you get the top four. So you get Michigan, Penn State, USC. Is Wisconsin the fourth team?
Probably.
You get those four every year. We need to have – that's only four games.
That's only four
You can
games.
Play
so
Jabronis.
The other eight are joke.
Yes. So you got to have your best four teams playing each other every year.
That's what the SEC seems to do.
Well, they're going to – and they're going to lap the field. And the only way that this ever changes – like Ohio State's non-conference schedule next year is laughable. Southern Miss, Western Michigan, Marshall, that's ridiculous.
Why don't they just go back to divisions and put all the bad teams in one division and all the good teams in the other division?
Well,
like a Premier League,
they'll never do that because they don't. Nobody wants to play a slobber knocker every week. But you can balance it. Here's what I would say: if they really wanted to do something grand here, make every game a Big Ten game and play 12 Big Ten games. You know why? The Big Ten has more trash than any league in the country, or at least as much. Illinois, Northwestern, Rutgers, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue. That's eight programs that the ceiling is 9-3.
By the way, I like that you stopped
four.
At four on
I don't know
the
why I did. I wasn't sure if I was going to go to an X.
I like that.
And then, you've got Iowa and Michigan State who are okay. They're all right. They're okay.
Any given year, they
they're
can,
well
they can make a little
they're
noise.
They're fine. They're fine. But like
Michigan State, by the way, needs to play USC every year because you need to have the Spartans versus the Trojans every year.
Troy versus Sparta.
Yes,
like
and you need to have – I'm stealing this. I did see this. But there has to be a Trojan horse trophy, and they need to play that game every year.
So they didn't force a rivalry on either USC or UCLA. So they forced – like for Nebraska, they force-fed Iowa to them. They did not do that for either USC or UCLA. They would play each other, and that's it, and then they rotate everybody else through.
Crazy. You brought USC in as a haymaker move, and UCLA came along with it because of proximity. So you need USC to be playing your top schools every year.
The idea that in year one Ohio State doesn't play USC is just laughable.
It would be one thing if this was pro wrestling and so that they could say, you know, next year for the first time ever or, you know, once in a lifetime, blah, 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 you're trying to build a one up. But you're not. You need these two teams to be pillars of what you're doing.
Now, there's still a Big Ten championship game.
Well, that's the other thing. So you're still playing.
Why?
Yeah, but they're doing that on tiebreakers. So that the problem is you could play Ohio State, Michigan in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And that will minimize that rivalry. There's no question. There's no question. Because if this were last year, they would have played in Columbus and they'd play the next week in Indiana. So that will minimize that game.
This isn't hard.
No. They overthought it by 1,000%, and they did it. They're trying to provide a maximum amount of eyeballs with the idea of certain people will watch these games no matter what.
But even to your point, if they played the four games that were that good, there's eight that aren't.
Yes. Yeah.
Question, how many teams are in this total right now?
16.
16. Could you do four divisions of four?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously load up the Buckeyes division, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Wisconsin, so they all play each other every year.
Or Penn State.
You know, or Penn State. Yeah. I'm sorry, Penn State. Have them so they all play each other every year.
Mm-hmm.
Locked, guaranteed.
Yep.
And then you anchor the other divisions with a Wisconsin gets to anchor a division. I don't know who you – UCLA probably anchors a division, and then maybe eventually you get Stanford, Cal, or whatever, and you put them in one. But make sure that you have this group that plays each other. And then for the playoff, you could do the top two division winners with tiebreakers so that it would be impossible for Ohio State, Michigan to play each other and then play in the conference championship.
They could have even done – it would have been very simple. Like, they could have just kept it – first of all, the other – real quickly – this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, because Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State, said this yesterday, that they were trying to – they don't want to go to L.A. twice. Well, the L.A. schools are going to have to come
– all the time.
All the time. So it articulate – he articulates without saying it that they have got to get more schools out west. So they've got to take Washington and Oregon, and maybe they take Stanford and Cal too. Maybe they go all the way to 20. And at that point, maybe it splits along a different line, and you can go east-west – and USC anchors the West, which is largely mostly the Pac-12. You put Nebraska, Minnesota in there with Wisconsin and Iowa, and that's the West. They're all playing for one. But the crossover, to your point, there should never be a year on a schedule where Ohio State does not play Michigan, Penn State, and USC. They should play those three teams every year.
Locked.
Because the rest of this league is bad enough that you can afford it. And as you go to a 12-team playoff, you don't even have to be perfect anymore. You don't. So, they dropped the ball. As big as it can be dropped.
What's the kind of as you
outrage?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Outrage. Because yep. How do you walk up to somebody buying tickets at Ohio Stadium and say, "What I just? I mean, you."
You're going to see a bunch of garbage, and don't you think that on some level, I think you're hurt.
Okay.
Are you hurting recruiting?
This is Ohio. Yes, because you're playing meaningless games.
Yes.
You are going to hurt recruiting. What does that say right here?
Pick three mini plans.
Okay, so you can buy Ohio State football tickets on the Ohio State website for this season right now. You can buy them. I know this has been the case your whole life. It's been my case most of the time I was here. But most of the time that I've been
They're
in this
not.
State, you cannot buy Ohio State tickets. Single game tickets? Are you kidding me? None. Season tickets? No chance. Mini packets? No. There are no tickets. The only way you go to an Ohio State football game when I first got here in 07 until probably 15 or 16 was secondary market. That was it.
Or you knew someone that had them.
Right, but you weren't going out and buying them.
No.
And saying.
Is this because no. the schedule?
It's because the schedule has been trash.
Yeah.
And fans are not going to sit in an archaic stadium with no seat backs and terrible bathrooms and an inability to get food and beverage. They're not going to pay premium for it.
Can you get booze even?
You can.
Okay.
You can now. That's recent. The other thing is when I first
got – when I went, you couldn't.
When I first got there –
what?
When I first got there in 07, every ticket was $63. No matter the game, every ticket was $63. Well, now the Michigan game's like $250.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they do all this flex pricing. So fans are like, we're good. We're not doing it.
My buddy and his wife are big-time donors to the university, like the academia side. They were on a 10-year wait list for season tickets. They finally were like, nah.
You could
good.
Not get them.
But they're the ones that have the big ambulance. We'll just tailgate and watch the game in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah.
You need to have the year that you play Michigan at home. Maybe you play Michigan and Wisconsin at home that year. And then every other year, you know you're getting USC and Penn State at home.
Yes.
And that's how you
Well, that's how they've it. Always built the schedule, is either Penn State or Michigan is at home every year.
Right.
And now that won't be the case.
Right, and I would put with Michigan, Wisconsin, and I would put with Penn State, USC. And
yeah.
Now you're guaranteed
two good games
at home every year.
Every year.
And the one that you can say, all right, maybe Wisconsin isn't as good as the other two, you're getting the game.
Right.
The big game.
Yeah. And now they're not. So they botched it as big as can be.
That's stunning. Because your competition, if you're the Big Ten, what you're trying to compete with in reality is the SEC. And the SEC does a very good job of making sure there are these big games. And maybe it's because there's much more depth in terms of quality teams.
Also, those schools in the SEC, since they've been cashing this checks for all these years, have gotten exponentially better.
Yeah.
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Ole Miss. LSU, Georgia, they're better than they were 10 years ago, significantly so, to where they're putting a lot of guys in the league. Mississippi State, look at the guys Mississippi State's put in the league the last 5 or 6 years on the defensive side of the ball, let alone Dak and everything. I mean, a ton of talent.
Simmons was there, right?
Yeah. Think about even Kentucky.
Well, yes, Kentucky's become a ton of pros
in the last 10 years. They took their money and they invested it into their programs. They're not just paying coaches arbitrarily to pay them. They're putting the money into the programs, and they're all better off. And it's not just football. They're good at women's basketball. They're good at men's basketball. They're good at college baseball. All of it. And the Big Ten has just stuffed their coffers.
Is this the new commissioner? Or is this the old one that screwed everything up?
No, it's the new commissioner, but everybody says that he's just – they got a mess. He's apparently got a mess on his hand. Kevin Warren, who somehow failed up and is now running the Bears, that guy left a mess. And they're basically their whole excuse is like, we're just trying to clean up his mess. I mean, you guys saw that. He sold something he didn't have a right to sell. He sold the 2026 Big Ten Championship game to NBC. He didn't have the rights to sell it. Fox owned it. And they put it in the package to NBC. So NBC, the Big Ten schools have to pay Fox like $40 million to make it right, because this guy sold something that Fox owned to NBC and put it in the deal.
Jeez.
Crazy. Crazy. So anyway.
My word.
Top five players for minicamp from Dr. Z among the things coming up, and it is a mailbag Friday edition. Get your questions to Gibbe. We'll get to those in the 2 o'clock hour. We're off and running. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL, join the Browns season ticket member waitlist today for the best chance of securing tickets for all home games and future seasons. Don't miss out. Go to clevelandbrowns.com/tickets or call 440-891-5050 to reserve your spot today. Time for Dr. Z and your top five players of the Browns minicamp, not named Deshaun Watson.
All right, Gibbe, do you want us to go from 5 to 1?
Yeah, I do.
You would like that.
I'd prefer that.
There you go. Right.
Number five.
Yes.
There it is. Had to wait for it a little bit. Number five to me in our countdown of the top five players of Browns mini camp is going to be Cedric Tillman.
Oh,
Cedric Tillman,
the young rook.
The young rookie receiver. I like the way he runs his routes. I like the way that he's catching the football. He looks like Larry Fitzgerald to me, the way he receives the football. I'm not saying he is Larry Fitzgerald, but the way that he catches it with his hands away from his body, I thought that he looked very, very good.
I like it. I like it.
All right.
Is he going to stay in 89, or is there hopeful that he can –
I don't know what's wrong with 89. Yeah. Steve Smith. Like, I
you have an affinity for Steve Smith for sure. You do love Steve Smith.
Steve Smith's a baller.
He was, but it's a short list of, like, on the eights, where would we rank 89 on the 80s?
So I would go
88, 84, 80 are top three.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think it can be.
I think 81's better.
Who's a great
81? I think the only two that I think are...
Who am I thinking of? Randy Moss was 81 with...
Terrell Owens was 81.
T.O.
I think the only...
Like, 85's not great.
I think 82...
That's an old school number.
86 are both worse. I think those are the two worst.
87's a solid number.
87's solid. I think 82 and 86 are the worst. And then I think 89 is like with 85. Like, they're kind of together. I think 89 might be better than 85. So I would say it's like the seventh worst 80.
Yeah, but I like a lot of the numbers in the teens for receivers too.
Right, but we don't. Well, I love those, but I don't think any of those are available. I think we're all locked in there. I think all those are accounted for on our roster.
What was he in college? Tell me.
Wasn't he 4?
Yeah.
So you're not getting that.
No. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Number four.
Number four.
I'm going to go with Jordan Kunashik.
Your boy.
Our boy, Jordan Kunashik. Got
good man.
A lot
Thorough.
Of first-team reps. You hear Jason Tarver when we play that. You're going to hear from him when we play that. But Jason Tarver, effusive in his praise for how much better he's gotten his body, how much quicker he's gotten himself, his breaks, his complete command as the nerve center or the brain of the defense when he's out there. I think he's a guy that has played his way thus far, you know, onto this football team. And, you know, you never know with a guy like that. But core special teams guy, Bob Ventrone loves him. I think Jim Schwartz clearly loves him. That's the only time he's worn anybody's number so far. You know, and Jordan told me he knew he kind of liked him because he brought him up to in front of the entire defense and basically praised him and then asked him to share like 3 minutes, like his story of his life and how he got here and all of that. And so he felt like that was pretty cool. So Jordan Kunashik, I think, had an excellent offseason. I will give him number four.
Number three.
Number three.
Number three. Donovan Peoples Jones.
The law firm.
DPJ, I mean, every single day making catches. That was Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Yeah.
Was the law firm.
Yeah. There's a new law in town.
I like it. Yeah. I like what Gibby did there.
Yeah, I like
the law firm.
I thought he just had a great camp. Catches everything. Runs routes. Seems faster, crisper. You heard Chad O'Shea yesterday. He loves his receiver room. You're also going to notice how heavily featured the receiver room is in my list here.
Yeah.
But DPJ, I thought, had a great mini camp, caught numerous touchdowns, and really seems to be in sync with Deshaun Watson.
I stand by what I said yesterday. I think because of where he was drafted, there's not enough credit or juice to him that there should be.
Yep.
That if it was not only would he have ascended quicker if he would have been drafted where his talent is, but also he would be viewed very differently if he was drafted where his talent is, as opposed to whatever happens in the draft process. Sometimes people get it wrong. And obviously people got a lot wrong when it came to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Number two.
Number two. And I'm going to give some honorable mentions at the end as well. But number two.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, number two, Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin has shown speed we have not seen on these practice fields, an ability to track the ball we have not seen on these practice fields. And I think he is – and not only that, he's just a cool dude. His story is cool. His history, what he's doing for his sister and – just everything about him. This guy went from being an Olympian caliber athlete in the triple jump to now, I think, being in the league for a decade and averaging over 15, 16 yards a catch everywhere he goes. I like the juice he's brought. I like his trash talk, and I like the fact that he makes big plays and he makes space for other people to make big plays.
You were in Puerto Vallarta, and I was doing the show with Tyvus, and we were talking about Marquise Goodwin, and he goes, you don't remember this in terms of this race thing that NFL players did apparently during the pandemic or something. Like Chad Johnson put it on.
And he said he won it.
And he won it. And like Tyvus was thought like for sure I should have seen it. And I was completely unaware that it ever happened. But he was so proud to show it. Of course, he knew him because they played together, I think, with the 49ers.
Yes.
Goodwin's going through drills.
Yeah.
And Tyvus is like, I want to go see DBs, but I got to go see wide receivers first because he played with them in San Francisco. So we're off to the side. Like, Goodwin leaves the drill to go down. I'm horrified thinking Chad O'Shea is going to
They're not
going to
blame
us.
You.
I'm like, but I'm standing
meetings.
With him.
There's going to be meetings. That's what he would say. That's what Gibby would say. There's going to be meetings
totally.
For you.
I thought there could be. Nah. I was like, all right. Great.
Nah, you're safe.
But, like, Denzel came over. I'm like, hey, everybody, we got practice.
You know what? Yeah. There was no meetings for that. There was no meetings for Cafe Gate.
Yeah, you're safe.
With you, we're fine.
Safe. Nothing to see. You're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, Gibby.
Condo of love.
We're at the undisclosed.
Yeah. By the way, the undisclosed is going away.
When?
Oh, God.
July 10th.
Sad so this is... Back. Why?
We got to go back under the yoke?
There may be some new tenants in the undisclosed location, so we have to move.
Sad. Sad.
Was that Scores?
No. No. It.
Or is, just, or is our building done?
There's that, but there's also at the undisclosed location, there are with the approach of camp and a few other things, there will be
tenants more important than us, hard to imagine.
Well, Sam. When the head of HR calls and tells Sam. You, Sam. I'm going to need you to vacate the premise by July 10th.
When was that said to you?
Sam. This morning.
Sam. Hate to see it. Hate to see it.
I tried. I lobbied. I was denied.
I would like to stay here forever.
In perpetuity.
perpetuity. It's a great word. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you blew it.
Number one.
Number one.
Elijah Moore. I mean, Elijah Moore has been dominant out wide. Elijah Moore has been dominant in the slot. Elijah Moore has been dominant out of the backfield. He catches everything thrown his way. He seems impossible to cover. He was, in my mind, after Deshaun Watson, the star of camp. Remember, this is a passing camp, so people are
saying,
you give me four wide receivers. Well, yeah, I did.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. That's what this camp's all about. Like I said, I'll give you some honorable mentions in a second, but I thought Elijah Moore has the look of the guy that I loved coming out of Ole Miss. He was one of the most productive players in college. In fact, I think he led that year in receptions per game, yards per game in the country.
Had a monster game against Georgia or LSU.
He had a lot of monster games.
Yeah, but he had one where he lit up one of the better defenses in the SEC.
Well, that's what Cedric Tillman did as well.
That's true. He had one of those, too.
10 for 200 on that 2021 Georgia team.
That's true, That's true.
That's a team that gave up 8 points a game for the season.
Yeah, they were good. That entire defense, I think, is starting in the NFL next year.
Yeah, and they were all early round.
They were all first, second, or third round picks.
Listen, it was a passing camp. That's what you wanted to see. Now, honorable mention.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
He does everything. He's a walking mismatch.
We've seen him in the backfield. I stumbled onto the Harvin thing, the way that they used him with Minnesota. Like, there's just a lot they're going to be able to do with him. In terms of that.
And he catches everything. He knows how to create separation. He's a great route runner. He's got a big catch radius. You know, last year he caught more balls than he had catchable balls thrown to him.
Pretty good.
So they maybe need to change the definition of catchable, because if it is caught, on some level it felt like it had to be catchable.
Felt like it had to be catchable. Absolutely.
So those were the guys. Honorable mention. Honorable mention. I thought Greg Newsome had a great camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he looks very, very good. Same with MJ, Denzel, just the corners in general. I thought you saw a lot, but especially Greg and MJ. I'd give an honorable mention, shout out as well to Jacob Phillips. Had a very nice camp. He looks
stay healthy, brother.
His
legs
are ginormous now.
He will go if he just stays healthy.
Yes. So those were a couple. And then everybody's, well, what about the defensive line? You don't really see the defensive line, line. Don't really see the running backs. I think, you know, Jerome Ford looked good. I thought deep cut wide receivers, Daylon Baldwin had a nice camp. I thought Jalen Darden had a nice camp as well. And then I thought Dobbs made a lot of really good throws. And then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I like this kid a lot. And I think that, you know, when you're trying to think about this roster and where the Browns could try to save some money but also maintain competence, you know, DTR is your backup quarterback 2024 and beyond, I think would be a lovely
players
thing for the Browns.
Players respond to him.
No doubt. Natural leader, natural thrower of the football. Decisive, good arm, you know, not the biggest guy, but tough, athletic, and he could see how seriously he takes it. I want to go back to Marquise Goodwin really quickly.
Go.
He does every drill at full speed like it is the most important thing he's doing, and I hope that rubs off on everybody else, because that's why he's been in the league this long, because he's a total professional, and he's very talented. But overall, excellent minicamp. You know, we're not going to get to know really anything about the trenches. I would put honorable mentions to Darius Smith just for, like, looking at him. Yeah. I would put honorable mention for talking to coaches, somebody who has impressed them and I think has put himself in a position to really, you know, make this team, is Maurice Hurst.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Alex Wright's development is something that has not gone unnoticed by the coaching staff at this point as well. And then Delpit Thornhill, they've been pleased with, in McLeod as well. So, overall, you feel very good about where you are. But I want to, you know, the Daylon Baldwin, Jalen Darden, more deep cuts. You know, DTR is your right now fourth-string quarterback, not for long. He'll be your third-string quarterback maybe as soon as we open training camp. But Maurice Hurst, I think, really stood out. Jordan Elliott, who just signed a restructured deal, he's making this team. That puts him on the team.
I like the DTR thing because it'll make camp and it'll make preseason fun.
This preseason
it'll be fun.
We have some talent.
Him and Tillman
and Baldwin and Darden and, you know, Mike Harley Jr. and Akins and Harrison Bryant and all of the guys that you're going to be able to get a little bit more. Look, Hassan Hall, the undrafted running backs, had a nice little camp. So you're in a
– that'll be – it makes it interesting. When you have a rookie quarterback, it makes it fun. Makes preseason more.
And a guy who's exciting and dynamic.
Yeah. And he's all of those things. We'll go around the league coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Balabet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio, and a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. Let's go around the league. Jets head coach Robert Saleh saying the Jets don't want to be on Hard Knocks. Does anybody want to be other than Jerry Jones?
I don't know, but too bad. Put him on there. Too bad.
Agreed. They're the number one draft pick for sure.
Yeah.
There's only four teams that fit the criteria of the ones that can't say no, and it's them, the Bears, the Saints, and the Cardinals?
Yes, I believe
so. But the Cardinals.
You don't want the Cardinals.
No.
I think I would go Jets, Bears, Saints, Cardinals in that order.
Yes.
For most appealing to me. But the Jets are number one by 100 miles. Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but that makes the best television show.
Agreed.
Is the Jets, for sure. The Bears one would have a little bit of potential, but I don't know if their coach has. Like, Saleh's got juice. I'm trying to think if Eberflus.
Saleh's got a lot of juice.
I don't know if Eberflus has juice. You would have the stadium stuff over there.
Some stadium stuff. You got Fields. You got DJ Fields Moore.
Is charismatic. Yeah. New Orleans would have. The one thing that's always fun about when they go to a place like New Orleans is then you get, like, the city's a character.
City would be a character in New Orleans. Mike Thomas, who seems to be a very interesting.
I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Troubled guy.
I don't know what happened. I really don't. I saw these videos of him, like, weightlifting. I'm like, just stop. You don't need to be that big.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. Did you guys see the videos of Tua? Like, how jacked he is?
So is he jacked?
I think he's jacked.
And is that a good thing?
But why did his stomach? Why did his stomach grow so much?
I don't know. I don't know that. But I don't know. Maybe he's wearing some sort of pad. But, like, that he's too damn big. That was always my theory on Brady Quinn. Is he got too big?
Too buffed.
Same thing with, like, Trent Richardson. Like, too muscular.
David
you're not
Austin.
Flexible. Yeah. You're not flexible when you're that muscular. It's hard to move.
You remember when David Boston's arms were like bowling? His biceps were like he put bowling balls under his skin?
Yeah. He was and then Anquan got a little big at one point. Got a little too big. Like, that can happen to you when you do that.
So by the way, quick aside, because Gibby put it in here. Shout out AJ Green. Happy birthday. And as Gibby's words were, happy you didn't die at the golf outing. Yeah, or get injured even.
One of the most remarkable things I've seen live on remote.
For sure.
On a short list.
For sure.
Yeah.
Bang, bang. And the funny thing is, like, a lot of
ownership's foursome.
Yes. Yes.
Right in front of all of us.
Yes.
Live on the air.
Live on the air.
Bang, bang. Yeah.
Man. Crazy. Real quick on New Orleans. Do you think the blonde and I are going to Charleston in a couple of weeks?
It's going to be great.
Has Charleston usurped New Orleans as, like, that place you go in the South? Do people still go to New Orleans on short weekends?
I don't. They're very different.
I understand.
You would go to New Orleans for a certain experience.
No, sure. New Orleans offers. I've been to New Orleans a lot.
We're men in our 40s, and so now we would be much more inclined to Charleston.
But do you think that
20-year-olds are still going to New Orleans?
Or are they going to Nashville?
Nashville.
See, I do wonder if New Orleans still gets the tourism. I bet it doesn't.
Maybe not to that extent, but it's still great for hosting events.
For sure. There was a time when New Orleans was second only to Vegas.
Yeah, no. I think Nashville.
Fun, debauched.
I think Nashville has passed it for fun and bachelor parties and bachelorette parties.
Yes.
And I think that's Charleston has passed it for people who want to go
food
to South and food. And yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is New Orleans is great, but it's also nasty.
You can have so many different experiences in New Orleans.
Yes.
You know, it depends on what you're kind of going for.
Yes.
You know, but you're right. Like, it can be as nasty. I've always wondered, I've only ever been there for, like, huge events.
Okay.
So I just always wonder, kind of like with Indy, like, what's it like on a Tuesday in June?
I've never been
where
it was Bourbon Street was not hopping.
Because you've always been there for events, right? Have you ever been there for anything other than a big deal? Like,
that's
a WrestleMania or a Super Bowl,
WrestleMania.
Final Four, like, those are national championship games. Like, I've never been
there.
Well,
we were there randomly. I mean, not randomly, but for a Browns game. So there was a Saturday, though, that we were out, and it was quite hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be at Tennessee and New England. Gibby writes in the rundown, anyone to try and understand his free agent visits? I can. I think he's just looking for money.
I think he's looking for money, and I think he's also looking for, hey, look at all these people that want to talk to me, to maybe try to drum something up a little bit there. But neither of those places are places that he would go to try to have there are two things that he supposedly wants, right? Well, three. Money.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to be on a team that's going to win. And then the ability to put up stats that would allow him to, after a one-year deal, get a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Those two places don't fit any of those bills,
none.
Except maybe money, but it's not like they're
It'd
flush.
Short term.
Well, it's all going to be – he's getting a one-year deal anywhere he goes.
I think that – I mean, the Beckham thing just screwed it all up. The Ravens-Beckham thing just screwed
totally.
It all up.
Totally, yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I'm sure he's already signed somewhere for less. Frank Clark leaving the Chargers was saying within a division he's going to the Denver Broncos on a one-year deal up to $7.5 million. I did see this. Did you guys read the quote from Frank Reich on Bryce Young being elevated?
No.
So the whole quote is about how, you know, this isn't – we're not naming him the starter. He's still in competition.
With who?
Andy Dalton has still done a lot of great work, and Matt Corral's there too, and, you know, we're all still competing, and not too much to – can we just stop?
Stop it. He's the first overall pick in the draft.
You traded up to get him.
You're playing him, yeah.
You drafted him number one. He's the starter.
That's why I put in the run. I'm like, oh, finally. I see. I didn't hear the soundbite.
Oh,
I
the
just
sound
saw that.
Is stupefying.
I saw that, and I was like, well, there's some common sense.
He really learned
Let's
a
just
lot.
Go down the road.
He really learned a lot from Andy. No, he didn't. He learns a lot by practicing. In fact, you're an idiot. You should have given him every first-team rep from the start of minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah.
Why would you give him anything else?
I will say this. And
unless
I'm,
it's a developmental kid, but you drafted Young to play.
I'm surprised that it didn't really stick out this much watching him in the SEC, but watching him at Panthers in the practice whenever you see highlights, if he truly is successful and ends up being worthy of the number one pick, it's going to be incredible that he was able to do that at that size. Because when you he looks literally, he does look like a kid is wearing a Panthers uniform and playing quarterback for
it
them.
It didn't stick out when he was in the SEC is because he took 99% of his snaps out of the gun. So the reason that it sticks out in the NFL is the videos and images we've seen are him under center.
You're near the lineman.
So you're near the lineman, and they're seven inches taller.
He just doesn't look like he would survive Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith hitting him.
I agree.
It's going to be an incredible anomaly if he's able to be the Steph Curry
right.
of the NFL.
Yeah.
It will be
I would agree.
Amazing.
This was fun. I alluded to this yesterday. I'm glad you have this in here. This is Dalvin Cook, who's under contract with Minnesota until later
today.
McDaniel. Mike McDaniel was asked to comment on any interest with the Dolphins might or might have in Dalvin Cook. Mike McDaniel, God bless you. Have a listen.
March 3rd, 1983. That day I was born, right? Now we take a closer look at that date, and that, in fact, was not yesterday. Okay, so people that are rumored to be tall, short, people that are rumored to be, you're not going to get this guy. I'm year two, okay?
I'm year two.
And he did it so, have you seen the video?
Yeah, it was amazing.
So straight
so
face.
So great.
He is great.
I
think he ends up there.
Yeah. A little goes such a long – he goes a long ways a lot, but just a little bit of that humor goes a long way for a coach.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of currency
Something,
out of that.
Yes.
Just a little juice, and he provides a lot of it. Man, he's
oh,
funny.
Yeah.
So, so good. We will go to the podium and Nick Chubb. It is also a Mailbag Friday. Ask us anything you'd like. Tweet the questions at Browns_Daily. We'll get to that in about a half hour from now. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, final hour here of the week on Cleveland Browns Daily. Didn't hear a lot from Nick Chubb at Mandatory Minicamp, and rightfully so. What do you need to know about Nick Chubb? He's the best running back
stud.
In the league. He's an absolute stud. He was at the podium. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously horrible news for everyone and part of, you know, this organization and this entire state and the entire, you know, USA. But, you know, me personally, being able to know him was definitely special, definitely a blessing. And being drafted here and playing after, you know, such a great running back, it's a blessing.
What about the fact that he was instrumental in helping to, draft you in some ways. They sent him some tape of you, and he just, like, loved you right from the start. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Joe Sheehan has been telling me that story since I got here, and I never believed him. It's like I text from Dorsey telling me that it was true after he passed away. And, you know, just hearing that, I mean, it was a blessing, you know. He saw something in me, and, yeah, it's special, you know. We're definitely playing for him from here on out.
What were your interactions with him like? I mean, did you get a chance to talk to him about just running and just the physical nature of how he did his job? Did you have those conversations with him?
We never really got too much in detail. I think the biggest part was just talking to him in general, just learning what from life about him, and him just being here, being around. It's that's more than anything you can ask for.
What's the most impactful thing that you took away from those conversations with him?
The most impactful thing is probably just stand for what you believe in. You know, he was a strong man. He stood for a lot of things, and he was himself. I think that's just the biggest thing to take from it. Just always be true to yourself.
Hey, Nick, have you been in touch with Kareem? And what's it going on with him?
I haven't talked too much about football. You know, Kareem's like a brother to me, so we got a lot of things to talk about other than football right now. But he's doing great. He's from Cleveland, so he's around here. He's training, getting ready for whatever happens.
Nick, do you have any thoughts on how you guys could honor Jim this season?
I mean, I'm down for whatever they want to do. You know, hopefully something does come up like that. But, you know, whatever they come up with, I think we all agree that we'd like to do something.
Did you have any special kinship with him because of the fact that he was from Georgia? I mean, was there anything about that?
I don't think we ever talked about that. But that is cool that he's from Georgia and also play here in Cleveland. We have that in common.
And did you watch while you were here? Did you watch a lot of his film? Did you watch his highlights and become real familiar with his running style?
Definitely watched his highlights a couple of times. He's just amazing. He made crazy plays that no one has made since. You know, he was definitely different.
Nick, there's, you know, like after games, we'll hear things like Nick Chubb is the first Browns running back to do this since Jim Brown, whatever it is. Does that kind of, I mean, what do you think when you hear something like that? Like you're the first running back to do something since Jim Brown in this uniform?
Well, I know it's a big gap between when he played and I'm playing now. So, I mean, what he did stood for a long time. You know, the yards, the stats, only in 9 years. So it's unbelievable. You know, what he's able to do in those in just 9 years. I mean, it's crazy.
Hey, Nick, you had 12 rushing touchdowns when Jacoby was the quarterback, but none after Deshaun took over. So, why did that happen, and how do you see your role now with Deshaun?
You can't really look at the numbers. I mean, 12 most touchdowns I've ever had since I've been here, 12 or 8. So, I mean, I don't think that had much to do with it. I think we did have to figure some things out, get the kinks out of the offense, and I don't think I'm hindered by Deshaun at all.
And Nick, Deshaun seems so much comfortable just on the field, interactions with you guys, with us. Do you see a big difference in him from this time a year ago?
I do. He's a lot more calm, you know, a lot more aware of what's going on. I mean, since I've been here last 2 days, he's making crazy plays, and he looks good.
Did you go to Puerto Rico?
I did.
Nick, you usually put a few words, head down, always about your business. What keeps you consistent with them having an attitude?
Just the way I approach, this my career football, the way I approach everything. You know, I'm always working to be better, and you know, for my team, for Cleveland. So I think that's my mindset, is to do what I can for everyone around me.
Coach, you always had an attitude since you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you and Jerome will do together in terms of a 1-2 punch, mm-hmm. change up sort of thing?
I think we'll do good. You know, Jerome's really talented. He can catch the ball well. He's extremely fast and smooth, and yeah, he's a great player.
Nick, I know you answered a lot of questions about Jim Jerome. I wanted to ask you, by the end of the year, you'll be in second place. The Browns all draft rushing with us, about 4,000 or 5,000 yards behind Jim Brown. Do you think your career in Cleveland will be extended enough for you to catch him?
I mean, who knows? You know, anything can happen. I like to take it one day at a time, not look too far ahead. But, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I don't get too caught up in that. Like I said, I take it a day at a time.
No. How about the fact that they renamed the running back position to rushing title, the Jim Brown Award. I guess first your thoughts on that, and then would it make it even more special now for you to win it, knowing that it's the Jim Brown Award?
I mean, all together, man, it's definitely special. You know, it honors him and what he did here and, you know, across the nation. Probably the best running back ever play football. So I think he definitely deserves it to be his name.
Yeah, Coach is taking you. Go ahead, Tony. What? Go ahead.
Most people on the outside see a new emphasis on the passing game, obviously what's going on here, and they wonder, will Nick Chubb get his touches? Do you wonder? Do you know?
No, I'm not worried at all. You know, I can't control what I can control. When the ball's in my hand, I have full control, so I'm not worried about anything.
Coach is taking you guys to West Virginia to start training camp. Just your thoughts on that, and what do you think that the benefit of that will be for you guys as a team?
I think it'll be good just to get away from Cleveland and focus on ourselves and just become closer, get the chemistry going. And Deshaun said he went there before when he was in Houston, so he said it was fine. So I think it'll be great for us to go get away for a while.
Give me the stat line for Nick Chubb. Give me your projected stat line for Nick Chubb.
For this year?
Yeah. So for perspective, folks, last year, 15-25, 12 touchdowns, 90 yards a game, roughly 89.7, and 239 yards receiving with another touchdown. It's amazing. He's so wildly consistent. Never rushed for under 5 yards a carry in his career. By the time you get after his rookie year, it's 93 yards a game, 88.9, 89.9, 89.7. You give him the ball, he's getting 5 yards. It's as simple as that.
Pretty sure he's second all. He's right there with Jamal Charles in terms of all-time yards per carry.
Yards per carry, yeah.
Yep, and he's the first. I know he's the first non-quarterback to do that in the first 5 seasons of his career to give you 5 yards per carry or more. I think Cam Newton did that as a quarterback, but I don't believe anybody else has ever done that. So, obviously, he's incredibly special. Last year, career-high 302 attempts. I think that this year, what are we looking at for Nick Chubb? I'm going to say somewhere around 260 attempts, I think feels like a pretty good number. Let's see. Let me do some math right here. 17.
Do some math.
Yeah, I think, 260 attempts, so that's about 16 a game.
Yeah.
15, 16 a game. And I think that'll be where he is. I think he will catch. I think he's going to has a chance to set a career high in receptions, although he had 36 and 19, but I think he could be in that, you know, two catches a game to three, get him in the 18 touch a game on average. And if you do that, right, if he gets, let's give him the 200 and we'll call it 260 carries. So I think north of 1,300 yards or higher, I think he will set a career high in touchdowns this year. I think he'll have more than 12. I think about 1,300 yards rushing, 12 or so touchdowns, and I think he'll have, you know, in the 300s for the first time in his career receiving. So over 1,600 total yards and 15 touchdowns, I think, is a pretty reasonable thing. And for Nick Chubb, he's only been over 1,600 total yards twice. It would be a career high in I expect a career high in touchdowns, and I think he'll be in, like I said, 1,600. Maybe up to 1,700 total yards.
It's funny. I just asked that, and no one is more dialed into, like, all of the you're the perfect person to ask that. You're dialed into the percentages and what he's going to give and also where this offense is going. And there's this notion that, like, Nick Chubb is going to be a forgotten man.
Not
and
at all.
I assure you he's not going to be a forgotten man. The numbers that you just put out there, 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns, 300 yards on the ground, 1,600 total yards of offense, or right around there. Those are extraordinary numbers.
By the way, and that was at 5 yards carry. I think it's very feasible he averages 5.5 yards a carry like he's done twice in his career. And that puts him at 1,430. That puts him well over 1,700 total yards. And I still think he goes 15 or more touchdowns.
He's never played with these type of threats.
He is the best runner in the league, period. He's also the best runner in the league against light boxes, which he's going to see almost exclusively after being a guy who ran against almost exclusively heavy boxes. He's the best in the league running outside the tackles, which we're going to do much more of. And now our shotgun run game is going to be significantly more varied than it was in the past. So I expect him to be very productive. He's a great shotgun runner. Also, I expect him to be very productive. And like I said, he hits 5.5 yards a carry. I don't think he goes more than 260 carries. I really don't. I think that they will want to, you know, try to keep him fresh, as it were. Maybe he gets to 270. If he gets to 270 and, you know, you put him at 5.5 yards a carry, that's 1485. I think he ends up in that, like 1,300 to 1,500 range. But I think the touchdowns are where, especially if you're talking fantasy football, that's where he's going to give you more value than he ever has. The crazy thing about last year, and I don't know how many people remember this about last year with Nick Chubb, is that Nick Chubb, when you went into the actual kind of the game flow, and I just remember this from doing my boards, he sat at 12 touchdowns, I want to say, for a pretty decent period of time. I'm going to pull up his 22 game logs, because he was a touchdown machine, and then it did taper off a little bit. So he hit his 12th rushing touchdown last year in week 11. He did not score again on the ground. He caught a touchdown in the finale against Pittsburgh, but he did not score a rushing touchdown again after that. So 15, I feel like, is a lock in this offense.
Feels like that's where you're headed. Yeah. We'll go around the sports world coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
For a team of injury lawyers dedicated to every client every day, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elks, proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. I did see this. This is what's interesting. The College Football Players Association is organizing a boycott of the 2024 EA Sports College Football video game. Athlete payouts expected to be $500 per, according to Front Office Sports. This is why this game was delayed. It was supposed to come out this summer.
Correct.
They're trying to figure out how to do this and how to make it make sense to where they can do it. It's going to be a problem until they are unioned, until the players are unionized and they're collectively bargained, and until that happens, it's going to be a problem. The simplest thing you could do if you're EA Sports is just make it editable. That's it. Just make it so you can edit the rosters. I mean, the EA Sports video game, I used to send a memory card to an undisclosed address who would load it on for 50. I think how trusting that was. You give them $50 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
You'd take the video card, and then it would come back like a week later, and you'd have the rosters. So that's how it used to work. Now you can just download them. Like, come on, man. Isn't that? There's no way for them to win. There's no way for the players to win in this. They might as well just take the money that they can get here.
You're getting at least a little something.
Yeah, they're not going to ever. There's no way for them to do this because you could just make it editable.
Yeah.
So they're saying that they deserve more than $500?
Yes, they probably do.
I don't know. I think that on average, that's probably what they would get.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Right. Because there's so many
certain people that deserve more.
Right, but the whole NCAA model is everyone's the same.
Yes.
A football quarterback is the same as a women's gymnast.
Yes.
Although women's gymnast is a bad example because Olivia Dunn's the most wealthy college athlete on the planet. But you get the point. Yeah. It's hard for me to find a way for them to win if they
– So
take your $500.
Take $500. Right, you're not going to – right, take $500 and you're going to make –
And you're in a video game.
You're in a video game.
Kind of cool.
And by the way, you're getting all – they're getting all their NIL money
anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This is just a cool thing and – fun, and when you get to Madden, I don't know what the deal these guys get for Madden, but I'm guessing they're just in it.
Yeah,
in the NFL, it's
part of the NFLPA, and they have an agreement, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I wonder what, like, if they do get a check from Madden,
let's see,
or is it just all part of NFL?
I bet the cover athlete. I bet that you get something from being the cover guy.
Like, do they get a share of their jersey sales in the NFL?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
individually they do.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I would wonder if they do get a cut of the Madden game.
How much NFL players were paid for their likeness in Madden franchise? Found out they were paid around $17,000 each in recent years.
Okay. But everybody gets the same.
An undisclosed amount for making appearances on the Madden game franchise. According to the NFL Players Association, players do not receive direct compensation for inclusion in the game. The NFLPA has a licensing agreement with UA, and the company that produces the game allows for using player images and likenesses. It's negotiated and renewed every few years. In other words, how much the NFL players, they ensure fair compensation for using their likenesses. In other words, just how much NFL players make from the game remains undisclosed, but somebody said that they think it's around $17,000.
Okay. I was just thinking about that with the FIFA game. Like, how the hell do they get licensing of all those leagues and all those players?
Yeah, like, so in the NBA, NBA 2K has a $1.1 billion licensing deal with the NBA Players Association.
Yeah.
That is subsequently distributed by the Players Association in an undisclosed manner.
Okay. So there's that's your taste of it. So I guess all EA has to do is, well, the problem is there's no association. So there's no way for them to, like, pay. They pay the problem is the schools get all the money.
Yes.
The schools get all, as has been the case in the NCAA forever, the schools get all the money for giving them the rights to use Ohio State, and the schools are not in the business right now of distributing that money to the players. That's the hang-up. We've got game four tonight, Heat and Nuggets.
I had game three, my bad.
It's all good. Game four. I think it's done. I think the Nuggets win this one big, and you wrap it up in game five.
Well, you just wonder if somebody said, hey, we have Vegas and Miami. Good idea to have these towns have seven events in them. And
no.
Maybe we want to make sure we get back to Miami for a game six here. They could call call in the officials that ensure such things happen.
Yeah, a little bit of a call.
Yeah.
Maybe. Neymar was at game three, and I'm wondering if Messi will be at game four tonight.
What did he
Quite get? A party Do in we South know what Beach.
Do you know his contract from Inter Miami?
No, but I know how it happened. I know how the deal happened. So he's going to make a certain
Some
amount.
Ownership, right?
Yeah, but the big nut came from Apple and Adidas. So right now, MLS games are only viewable on Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus, or whatever it is, Apple TV. That's it. That's the only place you can get it. And so Apple kicked in to create more demand for Apple TV.
Well, and my guess is if the Saudis were willing to offer him $1.6 billion for 3 years, there was a reason they went that high that had to
– There had to be – and I don't know – I can't imagine that they got anywhere close to $500 million. Maybe they did. Apple certainly has all of that cash and then some if they want to. But yeah, he's not going. He's not playing in the MLS for charity.
Yep.
And it had to be so much. There was only so much that Barcelona could pay him because of the financial fair play stuff. So whatever that number was, astute point out of you. Good job out of you, private school. That something forced the Saudis to go up from their original number to where they thought there must have been some number we could meet it or beat it with, and they could not. So, yeah, he's done quite well. But it was Apple that came in. And then Adidas is the official kit supplier, and they're going to move a lot of jerseys.
Is there a scenario in which, and I know there's some people out here who are going to say that this is what I'm about to say is blasphemous, but is there a scenario because of this move in which, not is there a scenario, because obviously the answer is yes, there's always a scenario for something.
Sure.
Is it likely, that's a better way, is it likely that in the next 3 years, MLS, because of the Messi addition, becomes more popular than certainly the NHL, and it might be close to that already in America, or baseball?
No.
Okay.
No. This has been let's do kind of a guess the stats. Do you guys know who Johan Cruyff is?
No.
No.
Have you ever heard of Franz Beckenbauer?
Yes. Okay. I don't know why, but yes.
You've heard of Pele?
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Those three guys are all, when FIFA put out like their all-time best team, all three of those guys are on it. Cruyff, Beckenbauer, Pele. Cruyff is Dutch. Beckenbauer is German. He's part of the German 70 team that won a couple of World Cups.
Okay.
And then Pele's Pele. They were all in America. They played in America. They played. Two of them played for the New York Cosmos in the late 70s, early 80s. They played in front of 75,000 people then. Okay. Beckham came over. Like,
I was
going to
say Beckham was in LA.
Yeah,
none of these people are Messi at 35. Okay, I acknowledge that. Like Messi at 35 coming off a World Cup, none of them are that.
Sure.
But we have had great players come over in their twilight forever, and it amounts to next to nothing. What they basically become is, and this is what Messi will be, except he'll be even better. It'll depend on how motivated he is. He's accomplished everything already. I'm shocked he's doing it at 35. I think if he could have played at Barcelona and done so with a normal amount of money, he would have done it, clearly.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he did this at 35, because everything that he chased, he's accomplished. But, like, all-time goal scoring, all that stuff is still kind of out there. And he's got a lot of that stuff. But it's just weird. He feels like he should still play what I would consider meaningful
soccer.
And he's not going to.
Yes.
So he'll essentially be a traveling circus where every place he goes will be sold out and you'll watch that. And that's what he's signing up for. So it's really strange to me. But there's no, I don't think it'll – it's a ways from passing – The other thing that's weird about it is because the way MLS is done in terms of, like, the league kind of oversees all of the teams, like, no one's ever seen, like, the financials on it. Like, these franchises get these incredible valuations, but it's like, are we sure they're worth this?
Are we sure that's real? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the tricky part with it, too. But that's where you go. on that. All right, we'll do the mailbag coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back in to Cleveland Browns Daily. Time for a little mailbag brought to you by our friends at Cross Country Mortgage.
Hello. We have a sponsor.
Hello, Gibby.
Sponsored. Cross Country Mortgage. Thank you.
The CCMCC.
Welcome on board.
All right.
Welcome to the best segment of the week, kids.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, welcome.
Whew, boy. Maybe we have a lot.
Maybe we ought to talk to the to CCM and see if they can get us a little maybe we do our own little mortgage here at the Cross Country. Right here at the Undisclosed. Sort this sucker out. Yeah.
Sorry, Nick. We're not going anywhere.
Actually, we're not going anywhere. We bought it.
Yeah.
You did what?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That's fine. No issues. I like
Gibby,
it.
Gibby, set
I
up like shop here. He's can got you imagine? Burgers, you think, dogs, beers.
Of course
he's
he does.
Got his whole deal.
Do you think we could Verbo this place?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
We could probably turn a little tidy profit here and then like auction off experiences.
Nanas.
Where you come and hang out with us for a show and then.
For sure. For sure.
Well, after next week, the cafe is closed for not one, not two, but 3 weeks.
Well.
I also
the
believe.
The L train's got to get his ducks in a row over there.
Telling
you.
You
could turn one of these rooms into a merch store.
Yeah. I like it.
Right here.
Sold.
This one. Merch store.
Our whole operation.
Come on in. Get some merch.
I like it.
You can tweet at the show at Browns_daily. It is mailbag time from Sassy Jim Harbaugh. For Uncle Bo, how many points will Michigan beat Ohio State by this season?
Jeez.
Chesty Wolverines fans. I got to take it. I got to take it. They deserve it. They've won the last
two. They should
two.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
I would argue that this is that they should. I'll be interesting how Michigan handles prosperity. Because they will be favored in the game. They play nobody. So they will be undefeated going into the game. This is Harbaugh's best team I think he's had. I think they should win. I think they should. I don't know if they will, but I think they should.
Hmm. Expectation time now.
Yeah, deal with it.
And you laid an egg in the national semifinal last year.
They've won the last two. They deserve to be chesty. Let them live.
All right.
Yeah, let them live a little bit.
From Logan, do you think the Browns are set with Ford as our backup, or could they look – at a free agent to add Zagura?
I believe that as of today, yes. But we got to put the pads on. We've got to see a little more. I think they feel very confident in him being able to be the running backup to Nick Chubb. So the question becomes, do they feel the need to add a passing back as a veteran, a J.D. McKissick, somebody who can just catch the football, do that. Now, and let's not forget, Elijah Moore's going to be in the backfield, I feel like, in some of these passing situations as well.
Oh.
So I do think that they feel pretty good about where they're at right now, Jerome Ford. But it's his job to solidify, if that makes sense. I think that if he goes out there and performs at a certain level, then yes, the Browns will feel very comfortable with him as the number two.
You can get more from Jerome Ford with yours truly, BPA, out last week.
Shameless.
YouTube.com/Browns or wherever you get your podcast. Jeez. Best podcast Jeez. Available.
Sad.
From Jed T. Fish, favorite current female actress?
I am optimistic. I find her to be very I enjoy watching almost everything she's in, and I'm optimistic of this comedy she's got coming out in a couple weeks. I like a little Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's pretty damn funny. I like her sense of humor.
Jennifer Lawrence is fantastic.
She's strong, man. I like a Sydney Sweeney too.
I like my favorite actress right now. No. Favorite act I think Jennifer Lawrence would be up there. Sofia Vergara. And then...
Well, that's a different...
You just asked my favorite actress.
It's a different operation.
And then I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball because I find her so entertaining. Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, she's great.
She's just perfect at what she is asked to do.
Yeah, she's... I wonder if that's her.
Yes.
Or if there's a... If that's a... If she's playing an
it's
enhanced
be.
Version of her. Would it be funny to see her as the female love interest of LD? On an episode of Curb?
Amazing.
Wouldn't that be
so
solid? He would be so annoyed.
Oh, man. It'd be great.
Love a dog today in honor of the Iron Sheik. Who is your favorite all-time heel? By the way, my golf league the other night, my good friend Travis and I were playing couple friends of ours in the league, and there might have been some credits at stake, and then they won the match. We tried to double down, and as a result, I got camel clutched on the ninth hole.
It hurts.
And there's yeah. photos of it.
That's pretty good.
He got camel clutched, and I got camel clutched. Wasn't great. Who's your favorite all-time heel?
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
That's a good one.
Wow.
He was amazing.
My favorite heel, and I guess it's because it's the heel that you end up you like. I loved Mr. Perfect. I loved Ravishing Rick Rude.
Those guys were just too great, though.
But they were heels.
They were. Like, back they in the were. Day when you were like, they were. They were villains, but like they were.
When the
I don't know who didn't love. I love those guys.
They're the best. When The Rock was a heel, when he was doing like rock concerts and stuff, and did the Great Sacramento one, I loved that.
Flair is a great heel. Because yes. for us, he was a heel.
He was, and I love the Nature Boy. But sometimes I just felt like. He would get whooped.
Yeah, but it wasn't about that. I mean, like, him and Hogan were the faces of it, and neither one were, like, great wrestlers.
No, Flair was a great wrestler. Hogan was not a great wrestler. Yeah. Flair was a great technical wrestler. I'm just saying it sometimes it felt like, although he was pretty big back in the day. I love the Nature Boy. I think.
Was not exposed to his greatness. Like, it was.
When the Macho was
I don't
the
even
heel?
Remember him at WCW. I just, yeah. you know, he was. That all came later.
Yeah. Macho was a great heel. I mean, Roman Reigns
Honestly,
right now.
Hogan was a pretty good heel. He was more interesting as a heel than he was as a face.
Oh, yeah,
face,
NWO
sure.
Hogan. Yeah. yeah. They were great. Yeah. The whole
Those
NWO
guys
was
were
great.
Good.
Roman Reigns right now is having one of the best runs ever, period. I mean, he's over 1,000 days as champ, and he is an awful heel. He's great.
Yeah.
His music's great.
Don't you like it? Steph.
Don't you like it?
Joe Thomas is now involved with the Munich Ravens in the European like League of Football. Can you envision the Elf as a kind of minor league for the NFL, especially in developing certain positions?
Do we know the details on this?
We don't. I don't know anything.
All right. Obviously, we're connected. The scores say that he's not going to be a coach there, okay?
Maybe he's doing some advising or... He's doing some position stuff.
He might go there like this time of year
yeah.
for a very brief period of time and lend some expertise and take a vacation to Germany.
That seems more in line with Hoff's.
Some German Hoffes. Beer, some yeah. Lederhosen.
Wasn't
what
he there
wrong?
For something recently?
Last year, NFL Europe.
He was
oh,
just
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
a
he
week
loved
ago.
And then he was just riding
he
a
was
tobacco.
Just there. He was in Germany last week, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
when all this came out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
He was there. So I have pretty well-sourced scores on that.
Eddie Spaghetti, I went to the Memorial Tournament Sunday after Siwoo Kim hit his tee shot on 18. He threw me his tee. It was pretty cool.
Good stats. Good job, Eddie.
Proud yeah. Do you use that tee? I mean, what do you do? It's an interesting collectible.
Yeah, I would say that I would use that tee. Like, what are you going to do? Hey, this is – it's whose tee?
Siwoo Kim.
It's whose tee?
I think you're going to put – no.
I don't want to go back down that road.
I think if it was like you had a tee, you could make a nice little frame out of a tee. Be like, this is the tee. Put a golf ball on it. You got to get one of his golf balls signed, and then you put it on the tee and you mount it.
All right. Did you guys see this about the UFO in Cali? If so,
yes,
or no?
Yes.
Yeah, Jeff,
we've talked about it.
Well, and in Vegas, and there were 10 feet tall people or non-people in this guy's backyard, and the police's body cam caught the UFO crashing. Hello.
Yeah, 8-foot people cruising around in backyards of Vegas. It's all happening, kids. Prepare accordingly.
Bobby time. Rank these Ohio bands. Devo, the Black Keys, Bone Thugs and Harmony, the OJs, the National.
Isn't OAR an
OAR is out of Columbus, I believe.
Yeah, that's an Ohio one, too.
Yeah.
OAR is great.
Like OAR might have played my house after a
of course they did.
Concert.
OAR, Black Keys, Bone Thugs.
Bone Thugs.
All yep. that's all yep. fine with me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Rank these boy bands from Bobby. NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, The Beatles, New Kids on the Block, Boys right. to Men.
Bobby? Bobby almost got banned. He almost got banned.
You can't like, list the Beatles
on.
With
as a boy
NSYNC
band with these clown shows.
And Backstreet. NSYNC was a great band.
They were not a great band.
Yes, they were.
They had one great vocalist. They didn't play instruments. They had one vocalist and yes, a bunch of dancers.
Yeah.
If you want,
doesn't count as a band.
J.C. Shaw says could sing.
A little. They had one dude. They had the most talented dude of the lot.
Yeah.
Who carried the whole operation.
New Kids on the Block was a great, great band as well.
Did they play instruments?
They're hanging tough, Bo.
I'm aware. I remember.
Oh, they still are. They're still making money. Like and nobody's still business.
Yeah, they're making money. Step by step.
No.
Yeah. NSYNC.
Speaking of getting banned.
NSYNC was the best of the lot.
Yes.
They had Timberlake. They had the most talented guy of the operation.
98 Degrees had a nice Nick Lachey. Peak Lachey.
That was just.
Was in an elevator with Lachey in Cincinnati.
Nice guy.
Before a Bengals game.
Yeah, nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
He is a very nice
guy. I remember running into him at the Daytona 500. Jessica Simpson at the peak of her powers.
As Daisy Duke. Yeah, she was just
She was dressed up she was in the Daisy Duke thing. And I remember running into him in like one of the like media things. And it just felt like he was so annoyed with all of it. And so needless to say, when they didn't last.
It was not surprising.
This all makes sense.
A reality show that would have been like so great today, and it was great in its own day. The Osbournes obviously was. Osbournes was one of the all-time reality shows. But
the first year when they were unaware of what they were doing
was
unbelievable. So what I would say would be true of the Jersey Shore. Like when they were unaware that they were going to be something was. I'll never forget a buddy of mine produced on that, and he's like, "Dude, I've got something here that." I'm telling you, is going to be the biggest hit ever.
I told you the story. At the Super Bowl party in Dallas, we were in a room. Timberlake was there. I was there with Ashton and Demi. Like, it was a who's who party.
Yeah.
The most popular person in the place that every celebrity wanted a picture with was The Situation.
Crazy.
He was the
most in jail?
Popular.
Yes.
For tax evasion, I think. He was the most popular person at a Super Bowl party that had everybody in the world there. He was the guy. But as I say, The Newlyweds, which was Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, a tremendous reality show. And you could not come out of that thinking anything other than that Nick Lachey was a solid, solid dude.
Agreed. Yeah. And that he put up with a lot.
Was
and
a tough customer.
And as it turned out, like, her dad was the worst of
all of it.
Yes.
The worst of all of it.
Yes.
By the way, Lachey married that other MTV VJ, that Vanessa Minnillo. He ended up marrying her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job by him.
Good job out of him.
For Bobby, do you ever wish that you were raised differently?
Every day.
I mean, I don't even know where to go with that.
I got a text from my dad today telling me that they got 1 7/10 of rain. That was the only text. Okay.
It was what?
What do I care?
1 7/10.
1 7/10. That's how little rain they get. He's measuring by tenths. Although it's poured for 2 days in a row. That's all the text is. You think I'm kidding you? That's all it was. I didn't even respond. Like, what am I going to say? I guess good for you?
Yeah. That's funny.
Look it. We got another 1.7 tenths last night. Just quit an hour ago.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that.
My dad.
By the way, during the middle of my show in the morning.
I love it. I love
it. Hey, Dad. You remember what I do? Nah. Do you care?
I care how much rain you got on the Ponderosa last night.
My dad sends me a lot of good 49er stuff. He'll be like, this is a good read. Some food and wine stuff, and then a lot of just like bashing of San Francisco stuff. And I'm like, well, then you need to.
You can move.
You need to move here. I always say that. I move here. He sent me yesterday the clubhouse at Lake Chabot, which is one of the first courses I ever learned to play golf at. One of my favorite. Mountainous, hilly. It had a 700-yard par 5 that was the first 600 yards were basically like straight down a cliff.
Oh, that's fun.
So you could bomb it and it would roll forever. You'd have to hit another bomb. And if you could hit two good bombs, you'd get to the bottom. Then you had to hit straight back up a hill to a little perched green for the third shot of the par 5. For a while, it was a par 6, as a matter of fact.
I like that. Occasional
par 6. But a fire destroyed, so he sent that to me. He also wants me now, what is an air quality monitor and why should every Californian have one? He said, I need to get one of these immediately due to the train derailment and Canadian wildfires.
They're getting him too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you need that.
No, I need it. I need an air quality monitor.
You need
my wife was saying something today. She's like, I just read something like the air really isn't that bad. It's for people that only have respiratory issues. I go, then why is the EPA issuing an air quality alert, honey?
I don't know. I don't know.
What are we doing?
Get this sorted out. So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You're lakeside next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of rough weather. Got to give a shout-out to my guy, Jace. Cedar Point will be Cedar Point on Monday or Tuesday. Jace, hero.
He is an all-timer. Legend. He's an all-timer. It is America's theme park of choice.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's the greatest thing that you could do in a day from a theme park perspective. I was just at Disney. There's nothing like it.
No, just the ride for thrill. Ride.
No, no, no. Bomb thrill.
Yes.
Everything's a banger.
Yes.
There's nothing better.
No comparison.
There's nothing better. Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky we have it.
Agreed.
Absolutely. So you got that, and then you do a little lakeside?
Yeah, we'll be a little lakeside at the end of the week up there.
You throw the kids off the tube?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be doing a lot of tubing.
A lot of cackling out of you, I can imagine, running a boat, watching humans.
But I like to get pulled as well. So
you, I bet you do.
I understand, you know, there's a fine line. There's fun, and you get them tossed off eventually, and there's, like, dangerous. And I try to keep it.
The line cannot be crossed.
No.
Because if it gets crossed, then you're talking about broken collarbones.
And potentially, or like sometimes where they slack it so hard and you're holding on, it can like rip your shoulders out.
That happened to me. Yeah. Somebody were trying to pull me on a jet ski behind a tube. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But then I wasn't quick enough to be just like, let go.
Yeah, you just let go.
You got to just let go. Because if you don't know what you have to get rid of the slack first, kids. Little lesson from your Uncle Bo if you're doing the towing.
Well, yeah, because slack is enemy. When all of a sudden the boat comes back around and you're sitting here and there's all slack, and you know at some point it's going to pull and then you're going to get...
You're gone.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else. A little lesson from your Uncle Bo. If you're on a jet ski and you're pulling a tube, make sure you know where the slack is, because you drive over the slack in a jet ski, it will inhale it.
And that's
and
good.
Then you get to swim to shore.
Yeah, everybody gets some to show.
Which is a lot of fun. Thanks for that. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Next Level is coming up next. Have a great week, buddy.
Thank you.
Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.